Welcome back to another fun-filled edition of Dimes and Dozens. My name is Claire. Over there to my proverbial left is Tolliver.
To the left. I like that.
To the left, to the left. any excuse to make a Beyonce pun.
I know.
I'm always happy. So I know we talked a decent amount about James Harden last week.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, you know, sort of harp on this point for too long. And also apologies in advance to anyone listening to this who can hear my neighbor's drilling question mark in the background doing some sort of construction on their home. I'm really sorry. As you all know, we're all taping from our houses right now.
Exactly.
For everything we do. So this is the name of the game. But anyway,
and what neighborhood are you in? I mean, you already said you're not going to say where it is, but your neighborhood, you know, there's always construction.
Like I think what area. It is I am surrounded by like bored thumb twiddling rich people and
right,
they're like,
saying,
I've been home for like X amount of months and I don't know what to do with my time or energy or excess disposable income. So I'm just going to like add a deck, another deck. I'm going to add a deck on top of my deck. I'm going to redo my deck. I'm going to make my garage prettier. I'm going to whatever. And so
people
like all the
decks.
Houses in my neighborhood have just been like perpetually under construction since the beginning of quarantine.
Yikes.
And it is not annoying. Nice little double negative there.
Where's your deck? Are you going to build one? Okay. Anyway.
But I did. Yeah. So I know we talked about James Harden last week and we kind of talked about it to death, to be honest. But there have been some like new twists and turns in this saga. And so I would be remiss, I guess, not to bring them up this week as well. Thing number one that happened that was hilarious is so he finally made his way back to Houston, has been, I think he's played in all of the preseason games actually, and has been practicing with the team. There were some memes going around because he looked, I don't know if it was just a bad angle or it was the fact that he was wearing his warm-ups over his jersey, but he looked a little
thick. You know?
He looked like he had been enjoying a chicken wing or two in his time in Vegas. But so he gave a press conference, and in the press conference, I think it was Tim McMenamin from ESPN asked him, you know, like, why were you in Vegas and Atlanta when the Rockets preseason or the Rockets training camp started? And James Harden was like, I was training. And Tim was like, training for what? Which is the most amazing
That's
comeback
so good. That is so
ever.
Good.
And James was like, the NBA season. And then he was like, well, why did you need to do that in Vegas when there was training camp happening in Houston? And James was just like, I was working with my private personal trainers.
Oh, my God.
And then, of course, like a million memes of people posting pictures of strippers were born and being like, here is James' personal trainer. incredible. But yeah, so it doesn't really seem like someone who's like extremely dedicated, obviously, to staying in Houston. It seems, I know every week I say it's written in the stars. He's not going to end up on this team this year. And every week you say, no,
I
think he's going to stay there. I'm giving you a third and final chance to revise your answer.
Where is he
going to
go?
What do you think this week?
Where's he going to go? And like, you know, there's, you know, all these reports.
I actually have reports about
they've
that.
Exactly. They've expanded the scope of trade talks to now include these teams and, you know, this team and that team.
Yeah.
And
it's like, it looks like the Raptors and the Celtics are now in the conversation. The Celtics would be like Jaylen Brown plus plus.
But do you think the
and
Celtics
the Raptors
want him?
Would be Pascal Siakam plus
plus. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that would be a bad move for those teams. And I feel like, especially after the bad press week, bad 2 weeks of press James Harden has had.
Yeah.
Maybe people aren't super jazzed to have him. Of course you want like this 50-point fucking score. You want this, you know, incredible player, but you can only feel like a simp kind of right now if you're like kind of chasing James Harden because he's already like been so shitty for the last. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. I'm sure people have like real reservations about signing him just because they're like, there's no evidence that what he's doing in Houston, he wouldn't just do here.
Exactly. That kind of thing. Right.
But I actually talked about this. I did this like late night happy hour with the Kamenetsky brothers on Friday. And we talked about this James Harden thing at length. And they were saying that like, there's a lot of teams that they wouldn't recommend. A lot of teams are saying they wouldn't trade for him. And a lot of teams that Andy, one of the host was saying that he wouldn't trade for. And I was saying, like, devil's advocate, I'm not a James Harden fan. I don't love the way he plays the game. I don't love him as a person, or at least his persona as it's portrayed to the media. But I do think that there are at most, you know, three or four or five other players of his caliber operating in the league at any given time. And if you're a team that, you know, is not distantly like far away from potentially winning a championship, but also just doesn't have the talent on your roster to get it done when there are teams like the Lakers, you know, operating in the league, I think that you have to sort of swing for the fences and try James right. Harden, because the alternative is like glorified mediocrity, right? Like you're gonna, if your ceiling is like a second round exit right now, to me, you're like the perfect team to just fucking go for it and give it a Celtics, shot. Worst case scenario, it doesn't work out, but like best case scenario, you win a championship, and that's more than a lot of teams could say their ceiling is.
But also, that's not the worst case scenario, right? Like if you trade for James Harden, you're obviously going to be losing certain assets and like picks and whatnot. So like the worst thing could happen is obviously you just get to the Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, or whatever. You don't win a title because he's never going to. But you know, you've also just slid that in there real quick.
Slid that in there.
Just like a quick, like
he's never going to win a title, but
never going to win a title. But moving on. You've also mortgaged your future now for James Harden, and we know that he's, you know, the bad boy of R&B right now. One thing that that kind of softened my opinion of him is people were like, yeah, he's being shitty and he's partying all the time, which is like, how? But yeah, he does show up for
a pandemic, but every game here nor there, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like, like
beyond the fact that you're supposed to be in training camp, it's a fucking raging pandemic right now.
Can we also just say, like, he did like the, you know, on Instagram, he's posting at Lil Baby's party. I know Lil Baby's up and coming, right? I get it. He's popping. But like, if I saw James Harden at like Jay-Z's party, for example, I'd be like, you're shitty, but okay.
But I get it. Exactly. But so, we're also washed, Tolliver, and I can't overstate that. Yeah. We are washed. So our standards of like, what would be a party worth missing work for is for sure we're not the arbiters of what is the hypest party.
Maybe
right
even DaBaby, you know?
What about if it was DaBaby instead of Lil Baby?
For DaBaby, yes. Lil Baby.
which baby is worth missing training camp for? Yeah. These topics and more.
Goo Gaga. Yeah, I guess if I was a GM and I had the chance to get James Harden, I would do it because I know that my fans would love it. I know people would be really excited about it. But just like you're saying, I've never liked the way he plays. I don't get it.
I also was saying on their show, Devil's Advocate, again, that one would hope and expect. I don't think he's stupid at all. I think he's just throwing a bit of a temper tantrum because he told them that he wanted to leave when they got rid of D'Antoni and, you know, like they sort of were stripping it down for parts this summer, off season, whatever season it was when this all happened. And they didn't trade him. And so I understand that at a certain point I could imagine feeling like I have to make a scene because otherwise I'm stuck here.
Yeah.
But I would hope and expect that he's smart enough to know that wherever he gets traded to, it's not going to be able to necessarily be the James Harden show like it was in Houston, because if he's going to get traded to a contender, which seems to be his preference, they're already a contender, right? So he can't be just the guy. I mean, he'd be like probably the most valuable player on any of those teams, but he can't go into Toronto, for example, and say, okay, to hell with everything that you do here and how you do it. It's my show now, because they're champions, you know, and they've retained the majority of their championship core, you know, minus now they lost Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol and Kawhi Leonard, which is, that's no small, you know, diminishment of their talent. But like, I would hope to give James enough credit that he understands that wherever he goes next, unless it's like fucking the Knicks or somewhere really terrible, he can't be the guy like he was in Houston. The whole offense can't completely revolve around him and his ball dominance. And I feel like we should maybe give him the benefit of the doubt that he understands that, you know, like that would be pretty idiotic for him to think that he can just be like Houston 2.0 in a different city. And I just don't think he's that stupid. I mean, maybe he is, but
he understands it. But like, I mean, obviously there's a difference. Like, so I'm sure you probably can intellectualize it, right? But then once you're there,
once you're there, yeah, that's what.
And they're like, hey, you're late for practice. You know what I'm saying? Like, and they're like, hey, you're late. The bus is leaving or whatever it is. Like, is he not going
to
throw
it? Like, you can't talk to me like that. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you know, all's good on paper and everything, but I do think like that's always true, right? You never really know how someone's going to how a chemistry situation is going to work out. You never know what the alchemy is going to be when you bring in someone new to a team, especially a team that's already doing pretty well, as are the majority of his trade destinations potentially. Right. So you never know. you never know how that's going to work out. And that's why people don't usually take big swings and take big risks. But I think that if you're going to take a big risk, if you're going to say, okay, I'm pushing all my chips into the center of the table, there's maybe five, maybe six players in the league total, league-wide, that are worth taking that risk for. Mm-hmm. And James Harden, to me, is certainly one of those players. I mean, he's, like, arguably the best offensive player of all time, you know? So, like, if you're a team that just really needs that one extra push to get you over the hump to make you an actual contender for a championship, like, how many opportunities do you get, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. in the lifespan of a team to, like, swing for the fences and end up with one of the best offensive players ever?
Yeah.
It's just like, if that option is on the table, you say, thank you for your service, Jaylen Brown. You know what I mean? As much as I love him,
like, I would keep Jaylen. I would just, you know, if I was a Celtic, I would rather sit, you know, lie in wait and be like, okay, it's going to be a second round exit for us, and just lie in wait and do that for two more years and wait for some other superstar to appear.
That is the other option for sure. Cause next year, actually the free agency class next year is a lot stronger than it was this year.
Yeah. Except Giannis is out now.
For me, I feel like there's a couple teams in the league where they're sort of in their window. Mm-hmm. And I think you definitely have to be in that championship window for it to be worth it. Like, the other pieces in the window right around now? Him have to be at the peak of their powers for it to be worth taking this risk. If you're a relatively young team still with a lot of talent, like, the majority of what makes the Celtics good are players who are, like, under 25. Yeah. So, I understand why it might not be worth it for them to take the risk. But to me, like, for example, I love Portland this year, and I'm not saying they should or will trade for James Harden, but a team like Portland, I could see it making sense if Damian Lillard was on board. Right. Just because, like, they're sort of the best they can be right now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't think that they can really realistically, with the roster they have, like, achieve a whole lot more than I'm expecting them to achieve this year, which is, like,
you said,
I would say the ceiling is, like, the Western Conference Finals for them, right? They're not going to get past the Lakers. So if you have the opportunity to add James Harden to that, I think it's worth the risk in that situation. I think there's a couple teams like that in the league. I mean, I think Philly is that way as well to some degree.
Yeah.
Because their ceiling is certainly not the NBA Finals as it stands, I don't think.
Yeah. And they're trending down too. That kind of thing. I think you have to be, like, a contender that, like, is really lost. Whereas when I think of the Celtics, I think, like, okay, I know their kind of team identity. I know that they, you know, have high hopes and, like, blah, blah. But I don't think of them as, you know, like the Rockets, you know, where it's like, oh my God, it's been years.
And I don't
think
they're in that. they're not the Clippers, right? The window isn't this year and next year and that's it for them. Because, like I said, the majority of their core is quite young still. So I don't think that, I think they could afford to wait until the next superstar is available. And I think it's not unfair to expect that if the Clippers is a disaster this year again, like it was that last year, that Kawhi Leonard will be on the table again soon. You know what I mean? Like, you think he's just going to, like, you know, ride off into the sunset with, like, a mediocre Western Conference team? Like, no, I don't think that he's going to end up there forever. So there will be big free agents available again in the semi-near future. And I understand the desire to wait, but I feel like the way people are talking about James Harden, they're talking about him and trading for him like they were talking about Russ, and it's just not the same scenario, right? Like, he's just an exceptionally, exceptionally good player. And as much as he's controversial, he's also very rare in his level of talent.
Yeah.
So I think the way people are talking about him is a little disingenuous to be like, oh no, fuck, we don't want him. Fuck him. Right. And it's like, all right, hold your horses, guys. Exactly. Like, what do you have exactly that's so precious?
Well,
that's
not worth. Just like us, you know, GMs or whoever are influenced by.
Stars are just like us. GMs
are just like exactly. They're influenced by media. They're influenced by trends and whatnot. And I'm sure, you know, like I was kind of saying earlier, I think a lot of them are, like, a little reticent to do it because he's getting so much, like, bad juju around him right now.
Right. I mean, that's not a very appealing, throwing a temper tantrum isn't, like, a shining endorsement.
Exactly.
Of you as a potential signee.
It's,
you know,
not great. Yeah. Like, come in and fuck up my team chemistry. Oh my, I mean, I know we talked about this last week, but God, I'm so scared and excited to watch the Nets. Oh my God, I cannot wait.
They looked pretty good, honestly, in the preseason. Yeah. And I was like, am I going to have to eat my words?
I think, you know, time will pass.
Time will tell. It's not like we never, here's the thing in our defense of shitting on them, is that we never said they don't have enough talent.
Right.
Like, no one ever said, oh, like, KD and Kyrie and like the entire, you know, like playoff core that the Nets have been riding with the last few years, like that's not enough. Like no one ever said that, but it was just like, I wonder what the chemistry is going to look like once they realize that they're stuck with each other. You know, it's like a one night stand is very different than being like, let's get married.
Exactly.
You know, so
jagged edge. I just know that Steve Nash is going to like, I don't want his life. I'll go ahead and say it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's, you know,
oh God, not at all. Yeah. And he was like chilling. He was living in where, like Scottsdale or something, just like living his best life by a pool.
Yeah.
And then he was just like, why don't I raise my blood pressure? That sounds fun.
Can you imagine? Ugh.
I'll never be one of those people. Like I consider myself a relatively ambitious person, but I will never be one of those people who's like, I just don't have enough of a challenge in life right now. I just need to make things a little more difficult for myself just to like keep me on my toes. If I'm like stupid rich and have achieved like immense success in my career and I'm in my, you know, like late 40s, early 50s or however old Steve Nash is, guess what I'm doing? Absolutely nothing.
Chilling.
I am lying back on my piles of money and just like gazing out over my kingdom and like, I don't know, fucking baking shit from the Great British Bake Off and gardening or something. Like I'm not being like, oh, what other corners of the world have I not conquered? It's like, no I don't have ambitions to that degree.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, I just in my personal life, even I'm like, listen, if I get to a certain level here, I'm stopping. I'm just going to chill. Maybe not in Scottsdale.
You know? I mean, you know, don't knock until you try it. Because I thought that I didn't fuck with Arizona. And then I spent a little time there recently. And I was like, this is, I get why people retire here.
Is it?
It's pretty, it's relatively, you get a good bang for your buck, you know? And and it's just very easy. It's like a very easy lifestyle in Arizona. It's always sunny, it's always nice, like everything's clean and pretty, and I get it.
I remember being on a plane once with an old couple from Minnesota, and they were like, oh, we're flying to Arizona because, you know, every year it gets super cold, obviously, and he can, like, the old guy can't be there because his joints will just break or whatever and he'll just slip and fall.
Yeah,
so they just go to Arizona every year, and I was just like, you all are just going from Minnesota to Arizona? There's got to be like a third place, right?
Yeah, there's got to be like a happy medium of temperature between like the coldest shit ever and the hottest shit ever.
Get out of there.
One would think. Yeah. But they're probably pretty comparable in terms of like price. So that's probably where that comes from.
Yeah,
anyway, so you still don't think James Harden's going anywhere? Is that the moral of the story?
Well, yeah, right. James Harden. I don't think James Harden's going anywhere because I don't see a good fit for him. If anything, you know, I'm still like Sixers, maybe not Celtics.
I can kind of see the Toronto thing happening, to be honest, because they sort of wrote out that Pascal Siakam being their number one option thing last year, and it did not go well.
I never believed in that, to be clear. I'm such a,
such a hater. So if they can convince Houston to do that deal, I feel like you do that 10 times out of 10.
You think Kyle Lowry is going to be down with that?
It was Kyle Lowry included in that package? Or no?
No, I'm saying you think he's going to be down with playing with James Harden. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Kyle Lowry has already sort of like he won a championship there. He's been there forever. He's for sure going to go down as the best Raptor ever, I think.
Right.
So I think he's chilling.
Vince Carter.
To be honest. He's just there to collect a check at this point. He did what he came to do. He got a championship, you know.
He's walking around looking all cute.
No, but the thing is too with my last thought on the James Harden thing is like you saying like I don't think any team like is gonna want to sign up for that or whatever, like there's not gonna be a trade that works. I would say like it kind of reminds me of guys that I see where I'm just like, God, that guy's a nightmare. He's never gonna find someone who wants to date him. There's always someone who wants to date that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you
I am nightmare, yeah.
Regardless of who they are, if they have something really attractive about them, like if they're really hot or really rich, or in the case of James Harden, like an amazing offensive player, there's always going to be someone who's willing to overlook all the red flags and sign up for that.
Well, listen, I'm sure you've seen like, you know, To Catch a Killer or like whatever shows are on or whatever. And like, it'll be like, he killed his first two wives, his third wife. And I'm like,
right. And you're
his
like, why
third
is there
wife?
A third wife?
What are you doing?
Oh, man.
The other two
so
are dead.
This is an amazing, like an amazing metaphor. So you're saying that whoever signs James Harden next is like they watched him murder two people and we're like two teams and we're like, why not? Let's roll the dice.
That's analysis right there.
That's a beautiful chef's kiss. That's a beautiful analysis.
KD looked great. I'm excited.
Whatever, he looked whatever. Like himself. It was pretty amazing.
He was driving and shit. I didn't think he was going to test the foot like that. But he really was.
Did your heart go in your throat a little bit every time he sort of every like pivoted time. On his leg?
Yep.
Because literally those skinny ass little legs, because he hasn't built any muscle mass at all. Those it looks
tiny
like.
Little twig.
So anytime he like legs. Pivots or like takes a sharp turn, I'm like, oh God, oh God.
Yeah, I think we all will forever. But he forever. Doesn't seem to be like that. And that makes me happy. I'm like, okay, he's not being ginger. So that gives me confidence.
I mean, like, didn't he sign a max deal with the Nets?
Yeah.
So to some degree, it's like, hey, why the fuck not?
And then, but then like, I feel like once it happens twice, like, you know, you think about somebody like Clay. Like, Clay was probably going to come back this season and, like, play with confidence. But now, when he comes back.
Right. Yeah, that's the difference, I think.
You can't play with confidence anymore.
I mean, I don't think Clay Thompson will ever be the same. And that's so depressing.
Yeah, I just bum myself out. I really do.
Yeah, you just bum me out, too. Let's pivot to the next topic, which is just straight up funny and not depressing at all.
Sorry.
So, Jerry West, the logo. Mm-hmm. There was, like, a whole... I'm putting scandal in quote air quotes. You can't see the air quotes because this is an audio piece of entertainment. But
yes, right.
A scandal, question mark, about him, you know, someone from Kawhi Leonard's peripheral camp, I would say, is suing Jerry West and the Clippers for $2.5 million, saying that they owe him that money for him getting Kawhi to the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
I heard someone make a really valid point yesterday on ESPN. I think it was actually Rachel Nichols, your beloved, on The Jump.
Your beloved, and too.
Our mutual our beloved. We share her. We both love her very much. But she was saying, like, if that was true, that it just cost $2.5 million for them to just, like, get this guy to convince him to go there, like, why would they have given up so much for Paul George?
Right.
Like, if they knew they had Kawhi for sure without doing all that, like, why the hell would they have done that? That doesn't make any sense. Which, valid point. But yeah, so there's
friends with Kawhi's uncle, and I'm, you know, I don't know Kawhi's uncle, but we've all heard the talk.
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, it seems like
Johnny Wilkes, a man who's friends with Kawhi's uncle.
There's definitely some funny business afoot in his camp, but like, but the voicemail that was like, oh, now we've got him. I actually listened to the voicemail and it was literally just like, I owe you dinner. Thanks for all your help.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't feel like you'd say like, I owe you dinner if you also were going to give them $2.5 million. Like, I think the $2.5 million definitely covers dinner.
Yeah.
You know,
I would just fuck up and say it on the phone.
Be like, you know? I got you, baby, on that $2.5 million.
Yeah,
no,
don't
worries.
Worry.
Check your direct deposit.
Check your Venmo.
I need your Venmo or your PayPal or your Zelle or whatever, Square Cash. Yeah. So I think that's seems like a pretty overblown story. I'm not sure exactly why sports media is like latching onto it so hard, except that it was kind of a slow news week.
Yeah, it was just James Harden and this.
And Kyrie saging the garden, which we'll talk about.
Yes.
But yeah, so I'm like, slow news week? I it seems like a nothing burger to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like I had to mention it because it was like the dominating topic of the news this week. But
who would
you
want to see on the logo? Like, let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah. So I think it's the real Jerry West news is like, why is this super geriatric white dude still the NBA logo? That seems weird to me. Certainly there's a better logo option. I mean, I remember when Kobe passed 8 years ago, aka 9 months ago or whatever, that people were talking about, like, he could be the logo with his like fadeaway. I think that would be fine. I think Michael Jordan would be a fine option. Mm-hmm. Anyone who just sort of like is more emblematic of the game than Jerry West, I think.
Yeah.
Kareem. I mean,
I think Kobe Magic. Is somebody we could all agree on.
You know? I think so, people would be thrilled to see Kobe Bryant be the logo of the NBA.
I'm sure Mike would take it personally, but, you know.
And then he would. Yes.
But it'd be very exciting. And it would have to be a dunk. It has to be Kobe dunking. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't really see what they have to lose, really, by doing that. I don't think it would make very many people upset, except for, like, are there Celtics fans that are so anti-Laker that they would be upset about that? Or is the fact he's now, like, you know, has passed, does that sort of maybe nullify that a little bit?
That was this year.
The fires in Australia, also this year.
Oh, my God. That was this year?
That was this year.
Oh my God.
I know. I know.
Oh.
All-Star weekend in Chicago?
11 more days.
This year.
There's 11 more days until 2021. And then magically a switch flips and everything is fine.
I remember on New Year's Eve being like, this is the best metaphor for this year. I remember at the beginning of New Year's Eve being like, 2020 is going to be my year, right? Like, I can't wait. Yeah. And then I literally got the flu, not COVID, because I got tested for antibodies and I do not have them. But I got just like the regular old standard issue influenza on New Year's Eve. Like, I left the New Year's Eve party I was at 1 o'clock in the morning because I was like, I just don't feel good. Yeah. And I went home and I took my temperature and I had 103 temperature.
That is very high.
And I started my 2020 by getting smacked in the face by life and being like, oh, bitch, you thought 2020 was going to be your year. I just be like, here's the flu for 4 weeks. Like, here you go. And then I had 1 month between the time when I was homesick for a month with battling like a really bad flu to like when everything shut down. So my February was lit. And then the rest of the year was just an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah. I had my birthday was right before the shutdown. And I think I've told you this before. I'm watching
Pisces?
Yeah, I sure am. I was watching everybody have their like COVID birthdays. And I was like, well, I'm safe. I'm going to be good to go. By the time my birthday comes around, it'll be party time. <It's> like, you know, because it'll have been a year. I'm like, we'll be fine.
Yeah. And now you're like,
I'm like, so it's going to be a park hang. Got it.
I feel like my birthday fell in the window of when we were all cool with like doing, like I had like 5 friends in my backyard and we sat 6 feet apart and, you know, had snacks and drinks and stuff. Like, I would never do that right now, honestly, because LA is like the fucking epicenter of literally the epicenter of the pandemic globally right now. So I feel freaky. Kind of lucky. I feel lucky, which is like 2020 lucky, which is, you know, the bar is in hell, of course. But I feel kind of lucky that my birthday fell at a time where it was like cases were pretty low in LA, but we were still on lockdown. But we had all kind of figured out how to do lockdown and up by October.
Right. Yeah.
Versus people who have had birthdays in like November, December, January. Like, it's going to be like, not only have you already gone through a year of this shit, but it's back to being so bad that you can't even like outdoor hang with people who aren't in your household.
I know. Yeah. They were like, you know, I was hearing talk of state of emergency or whatever. I was like, whatever. Like,
yeah, no shit, Sherlock. We're at 0% capacity for ICU beds. I was like, I would call that an emergency.
I was like, fine, just literally fine. But you know, I know we're trying to keep things light on this podcast, but
keep it light. So the bad thing about LA is that we are all dying of COVID. But the good thing about LA is Talen Horton Tucker. Right. How's that for a transition?
That's pretty good.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to do my job.
You're doing your job. I get it.
But seriously, though, what do you think of Talen? He's been kind of amazing. I mean, there's always, I feel like there's always one person in the preseason when people are like, oh my God, he's the new GOAT, blah, blah, blah. And then the regular season happens and then we all remember they don't know how to play defense or whatever.
Yeah,
and
or they don't play. Like, they just like literally don't play because it's not the preseason.
I think he's earned some minutes, though. Like, I think he'll get some minutes, if nothing else, to like make the fans happy because he's like the Alex Caruso of this year. Like, people love him.
Okay. When I watch him play, it looks wrong.
Is it the hairline? What looks
wrong?
Maybe
it's that. Exactly? Maybe it's the hairline or whatever, but it just looks unsmooth, and that makes me like sound like I don't know anything about basketball or whatever.
it just looks like not quite
like,
right.
You know, I play sometimes, you know, like I'm whatever.
Around and play basketball.
It looks like he's like, yeah, exactly. It looks like he's getting lucky about it. It doesn't look sustainable to me in the way he plays, if that makes any sense. It looks like messy.
I mean, it looks urgent, which maybe you're construing with messy.
Yeah.
But I mean, what is more urgent than like, this is the only opportunity you have to show your team that you're deserving of minutes? Like, to me, he just looks like someone who desperately wants to prove himself.
Yeah.
Which, like, I find that way more appealing than someone who's like aloof and not really giving a fuck.
Right. Yeah.
Like Kawhi Leonard, when he smacked the ball out of his hands and stole it. Like, I'm like, okay, Kawhi, I get that it's the preseason, but like, don't let him like embarrass you like that. Like, come on. This is ridiculous. Also, he's 20.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't look super seasoned or whatever, it's probably because he's literally not.
Right.
Like, he's...
I mean, I'm excited for him. I'm almost like, this sounds like the kind of thing that'll come back to haunt me, but I almost like, you know, I love the Lakers and I'm almost like getting to a point where I don't want to root for them because too much is going right.
Right. They're not... It's to me, and you and I both come from places where, at least me more so than you, because you at least had the Michael Jordan era of the Bulls. Mm-hmm. But me growing up around the Knicks and then consequently the Timberwolves, and you growing up around the Bulls, like, we're both used to franchises that are just like doom and gloom.
Yeah.
And right. so it feels unnatural and weird to root for the team that's like the shoe-in favorite.
Exactly. Yes.
It feels like, is this what it's like to be like a Patriots fan? Like, it's just so weird. I'm like, so they just win?
Yeah.
Like, reliably? Like, what? This is, wait, like, what is this?
Yeah.
But it's also kind of nice, because I feel like it does takes a level of stress out of it, where you're not just like, oh God, why? Oh God, cover your eyes. What are they doing? It's yeah. kind of nice to just be like, I know that the ship is generally headed in the right direction, and it's probably going to turn out okay. Like, that alleviates a lot of stress from my life.
It's weird. And like, how damaged are we as people? When it's just like, I don't know. This seems too good.
Too good to be true. What's up here?
I
don't know.
I need some of that Timberwolves.
If there's any year where you should just root for the team that's probably going to win, it's definitely this year. Like, we've been through enough. We've been through enough. We can go back to rooting for the underdog once we're not the proverbial underdogs of life.
Of life. Of like, life. Thank, like, shout out to the government for the $600 they're about to give
us. Yeah. What are you going to spend your $600 on? You could buy $600 worth of sage and just go around and sage every NBA arena.
Definitely some candles will be bought.
Honestly, relatable though, Kyrie saging Boston Garden, because I feel like I want to sage like the world right now. I'm just like, okay, can we just cleanse this shit? I just don't want to take any of this shit with me into next year. Yeah. It was really funny because Cassidy Hubbard interviewed KD after the game and was like, what do we make of that Kyrie going through and saging the entire perimeter of Boston Garden before his first game back in Boston as the Brooklyn Net? And KD was like, that's just like his thing. He probably sages his room before he plays Call of Duty. Like,
it's so fucking corny.
It's just like, that's the thing, is like, people are like, oh my God, how dare, and I'm like, it's just corny. It's just corny. Like, embarrassing. It's not like offensive.
Yeah.
You know,
I just I shouldn't.
It's such a statement too, and it's like, what a dumb statement. Like, I'm on a higher echelon of,
exactly,
of mental consciousness.
Listen, that thing, that's what I was about to get into, but I'm like, I don't want to be this petty because I don't know Kyrie. Right. You know, like, whatever. But, like, I was listening to Charles Barkley talk about him or whatever. And, you know, and Charles was like, this guy thinks he's the smartest guy in the room in every single room. And it's so obnoxious. And I was like, yeah that's exactly
that's kind of it, really.
I was like, can you stop?
He's like, he has big clubhouse energy. We talked about clubhouse last week, but Kyrie definitely has clubhouse energy. Like, it'd be like a room that's like, why it's important to sage every NBA arena you go into. Like,
right.
Oh, or like... God. Like, I bet you Kyrie is skeptical of the vaccine.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, Kyrie, he has big, I'm not going to take the vaccine energy.
Yeah. And I'm sure people have been like, please don't talk to the media about this. But I bet, I'll bet you $10.
Okay. That, but we made another bet on a different episode, and I already forget what it was.
We might forget this one too, but
okay.
$10 that at some point Kyrie expresses his anti-vaxxer.
Anti-vaxxer?
Yeah.
I'm not taking that bet, because that's like, I would take the over on that all day. Like, yeah, he for sure is going to say gonna something anti-vaxxer this year.
And he's going to be on Instagram Live.
It's with his happen. Sage sitting crisscross applesauce. Like,
I'm not saying it's not,
I'm
not real.
I'm not telling anyone. Exactly. You start with the disclaimer. Like, listen, man, I'm not telling anyone what to do with their own bodies. I'm just saying, with my temple, I'm not going to let.
I don't even know what's in the vaccine. I'm like, okay.
Right. Does anyone? And then a bunch of scientists pop up and they're like, excuse me, yeah, so it's an RNA vaccine. It's actually based on, like, you know exactly what it does.
And they're like, blah, 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 blah.
And he's just like, yeah, like, that just sounds like a bunch of indoctrination to me. Like, yeah, I think for myself.
He's a free thinker, Claire.
He's a free thinker. Like, Desus from Desus and Miro has a joke on, a running joke on their Bodega Boys podcast, where he says that he's a sovereign citizen. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I don't have to follow the United States laws because I'm a sovereign citizen. And it's a joke. It's like him making fun of that. But to me, that's like exactly how Kyrie thinks of himself.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a sovereign citizen. I don't belong to any like cult of humanity. Like, I don't know.
You know what I did watch this week, though, that made him very likable, was that reporter in Cleveland being like, what kind of father figure has LeBron James been to you all? He was like, what? He's like...
He's like, this dude's only like 10 years older than me. What are you talking
about? Yeah, he was like, I have a father. Like, I have an actual father. But
that
I
is an amazing clapback.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, do you want to ask my actual fucking dad what he thinks about this question?
What's wrong with you?
I don't need a father figure.
I was like, why would you ask that? God. Anyway, incredible. But it was enjoyable. And I was like, okay, in this moment, I'm really on your side.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
I'm just like waiting for the day sometime in the off season when I like run into Kyrie at some juice bar in LA and he's getting like a green detox or something. And I'm just going to be like, I'm just going to have to really reckon with myself and realize that all the things I make fun of Kyrie for are like not distantly disparate from myself.
Right. Yeah.
Like maybe, I also sage things.
Yeah. I'm sure I have some wild ass belief about the government. I got tons of stupid shit.
I feel like I don't need a conspiracy theory because there's enough just like obvious blatant like fuckery happening at all times. I'm like, who needs to put in the extra effort? They're giving you $600 and we've been home for 9 months. Like, you don't have to make anything up. It's just there.
$600?
What are you going to spend your $600 on, Tolliver?
Oh, therapy.
What, 2 sessions?
Yeah, exactly.
How much therapy?
Like, oh my God.
There's not enough stimulus money in the world that'll for the amount of therapy I'm going to need from this year. You kidding me? God.
Can you believe, like, we're going to be, you know, if we're lucky, 70 years old. Yeah. And we'll probably still be talking about this all the time.
Oh, I fucking, because I haven't been able to find Clorox wipes since like the very beginning of this shit. And I found them recently. And so my friend Neela, at the beginning of the pandemic, she just happened to have bought like a case of them from Costco before everything started getting crazy. And she dropped them off for me. So in the first like month of the pandemic, I had Clorox wipes because they had been gifted to me. Mm. And the smell of them, like the that Clorox wipe smell is like indelibly connected to trauma in my brain because it reminds me of that feeling of watching the world burn and feeling so helpless and having no idea what the like light at the end of the tunnel would look like.
Yeah.
And just that sort of fear of being like, oh shit, I'm living in a moment of history that's like really scary. Yeah. That smell is that for me. And I bought them again recently because they started to be able to like restock the shelves with them. And that smell instantly like elicited a violent reaction out of my body where I was just like, run like, and I'm just like, oh my God, Clorox wipes have traumatized me to such a degree that I will never be able to interact with them in a normal way for the rest of my life. Like hand sanitizer, Clorox wipes, like albums that came out at the beginning of the pandemic too. Like I was thinking about that. Like I really liked the Waxahachie record a lot.
Oh, I love that record. Yeah.
But I tried listening to it this morning and it just reminds me of early March when it came out, you know, and it just sounds like when you're first like locked in your home and it's before we understood really how it worked. So it was before masks and stuff. So everything was just so unknown and scary. And like, we didn't know if it was passed from like touching stuff. So like everything had to be sanitized all the time. It was just like the most paranoid time of it, even though honestly things are way worse right now than they were in March. Listen. But like we just know more about it now. So I feel pretty confident. I'm like, okay, if I have to go into the grocery store, as long as I'm there for less than 15 minutes and I wear a mask the whole time, like I'm probably fine.
I
can't listen to that record. It's like it's connected to trauma.
That song Fire or whatever is
it's so good.
Love that song.
Banger.
I mean, rehashing all the things that we already know, but like in March, you know, when they're like, okay, we're going to lock down. And I just remember being like, this might go till May.
I know. We're so young and stupid, Tolliver.
I know this has been covered. Many people have tweeted about this, but it's just like, I just laugh at myself.
I remember
daily.
When they said the shelter in place order was going to go through till July. And I was like, that seems egregious. Are we really going to need it then?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, well. Anyway, speaking of not being able to predict the future, well,
we finally peaked. We did it.
Let's try and predict the future, even though we clearly suck at it, because we both thought that we would be like living our best lives by this summer.
Another great transition.
Here we are in late December, fearing for our lives and like clutching our pearls about going for a walk in our own neighborhoods.
So MVP is THT, obviously. Yeah.
Book it. No. Okay. So for real, I wanted to ask you your extremely early predictions about sort of regular season awards and also maybe just some random predictions about like which team is going to be the biggest dumpster fire, who's going to end up on a different team by the end of the season, who's currently on a team, etc. So the first one, the big one, MVP, who you got?
Luka. And yeah, like, same. I wish I had a more controversial choice, but
no, it's just I feel like, because people are saying, I know that they did like a GM survey and Giannis got it, but I'm like, Giannis is not going to get MVP 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
He's just not. First of all, the Bucks would for sure have to, like, well, I guess the regular season awards don't aren't like predicated by postseason winning or losing, but I just don't think that Giannis could do enough. He won DPOY and MVP last year, mm-hmm. and he won MVP the year before that. Like, there is such a thing as award fatigue. That's a real thing. Absolutely. And I just don't think he, regardless of how good he is this year, he would have to be like, unless he becomes like the best 3-point shooter in the league, in addition to all of the other things he does, I just don't think that he's going to be the MVP.
I'm shocked that he signed that deal, but that's for another day, whatever.
I mean, I guess we haven't really talked about that yet, but I'm just sick of talking about it and like hearing about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, yeah, we all get the reasons why and why not. Well, anyway.
Milwaukee sucks. Okay.
DPOY.
Yeah. I mean, before we had this podcast, I told you, I was like, I just don't give a shit. but
it's like the least exciting because nobody like not gives exciting. A fuck about defense, even though it's what wins.
Even though it's games. What wins games. I'm going to go with AD.
Yeah, I think he's going to get it this year. He came so close last year.
Yeah.
And it was just like the year of Giannis. But I think now they have the narrative behind them of they're like coming in as the defending champs. And I think that's enough to sway it that way.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to be rookie of the year?
Wow. Okay. That one is actually kind of tough.
I'm going LaMelo.
I was
going
to go. You really?
Yeah. I think so.
Wow. Because, yeah, we said we're going to talk about LaMelo. I'm going to go with James Wiseman, even though he probably won't get, you know, as much tick as he needs. I don't know. He's just my favorite of the rookies.
I just think that like, James Wiseman's role on his team isn't going to be as like glamorous of a role as LaMelo's on his.
Yeah.
And I think also, LaMelo will have like more cool highlights and stuff. And that's going to be like what sways voters, I think.
Denny Abdija or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, Abdija.
Abdija. Thank you.
I think is how you say his last name on the Pistons. Wizards, I mean. Why did I say Pistons? He's on the Wizards.
And I felt crazy. I was like, wait, is he on the Pistons?
No, he's not. Honestly, this is what you know why people have like face blindness? There's a certain echelon of like Eastern Conference teams and they're all the same team in my brain.
You're like red letters, something. Like,
yeah, I don't know. They're all
I think
the
he's
going to
have
me.
A great year. I wouldn't rule him out. But I actually don't. I think LaMelo looks really cool and he's doing a lot of great stuff. But he reminds me kind of like Jason Williams from the 90s or whatever, and like somebody who's like really talented, but he seems like the kind of person who's going to be really good and like never really go.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to move the needle, but I think he's going to be really exciting to watch, and people
hate his form.
Yeah, he doesn't
hate
have
watching
any.
Him shoot. Hate it.
What form?
Like, what's going on there?
But he's so much fun and so much energy, and I don't know. I just think like. That's my guess. But I honestly, it was such a, like we talked about, it was such a weak rookie class that I honestly don't know.
It'll probably be somebody shocking. It'll be like the, you know, the
it'll be like 30, Obi Toppin or something.
Or some shit. Yeah, exactly. It'll be like, whoops. I like Obi. He seems really nice.
Oh my God. He like won me over when he was like bawling about being picked by the Knicks. Like, what an angel.
He seems so sweet. Yeah.
And bawling because he was happy to be picked by the Knicks, not because he was horrified, which is amazing. okay. Who do you think is going to win the championship?
I mean, come on.
as a homer podcast, I mean, we have no choice but to say the Lakers, but it's also the Lakers anyway.
I shouldn't pivot because of course my first thought was like I was like, man, I really wish the Warriors were at full strength this season because I really want to see that battle, you know. I want to see them fucking duke it out. Have you watched any of the Warriors games?
I watched a little bit of one. It was really fun to see Steph Curry was like on fire.
Yeah. He looks great.
He looks great. I mean, he and KD both sort of look like basically themselves, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Everyone else, though.
Yeah. The Warriors, when Steph Curry's on the bench, the Warriors kind of look like the Timberwolves. TBH.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know what's going on here.
So I was just like, I originally had them as being like, I think the 6 or 7 seed or something going into the season. But now really confronting what Andrew Wiggins and Kelly Oubre minus Steph Curry is.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's like a 9 or 10 seed. Like, they'll make the play-in tournament probably, but that's about it.
Yeah, like I thought Andrew Wiggins might, like, step up.
Everyone said he needs to take a leap. He needs to take a leap.
For
as
like
someone who's
years.
Dated fuckboys and forgiven them on multiple occasions, I am an expert in this particular arena, and I would say people don't change.
There's no leap.
It's very rare that they change.
There's no leap.
It's very rare.
So it's just going to be Steph Curry playing well and, you know. Draymond
maybe he'll get
well.
An MVP because he'll will them into the 8th seed even though they're fucking terrible besides him. Like, that's possible.
So depressing. So, yeah. So, without them in the way, I'm just going to go with, you know, the Lakers.
Like, yeah, I think it's for sure the Lakers. I mean, barring injury, I think that's like the one thing is like you, the injury thing is the one wild card variable that you just like
How crazy would it be if the Clippers won?
I don't even want to will that into existence by thinking about it as a potential outcome. I don't want to imagine a universe in which that's true.
Yeah.
Mostly because I want 2021 to be a better year than 2020. And yeah. I just can't come to terms with the fact that that's a possibility in 2021.
The Lakers were
in my utopian, post 2020 imagination society yeah. where everything goes good and nothing goes bad, which is obviously not going to be the case next year. But yeah, I think it's the Lakers. Okay. Who do you think is going to be in the finals, I guess? Because we pretty much think the Lakers are going to beat anyone coming out of the East, but who do you think is going to be with them in the finals?
That's a little tough because the East is like, you know, it's a little bit more competitive, even though they're like worse. But my first thought when you first said it is following my heart is the Nets. My brain went really? Nets. Like it just immediately. And I was like, and then I fought it. I was like, I don't want to say the Nets. I don't think the Bucks are ever going to get to the finals. Don't think it's going to happen. I would say the Nets or the Heat, who are, you know.
Yeah. I could see both of those scenarios. I could see the Bucks making it this year to the finals just because I could see Miami regressing a little bit. I mean, it could go either way for Miami, but I could see it. And then if the Nets self-implode, there's not really anyone in their way unless Philly gets James Harden. If Philly gets James Harden, I think that they could make it to the finals, personally, right. in a best case scenario. But I honestly have no idea who's going to come out of the East this year. I really don't know. It depends on so many things. Whereas the West feels a little bit more like a sure thing.
What if Dwight Howard wins a ring this year, too?
The Philly's not beating the Lakers. That's not happening. Sorry, Philly. Okay, and last question. Which current player who's on a roster do you think is not going to play, James Harden excluded, let's say, because we've talked about him to death, which player who's on a roster do you think is not going to end the season on that roster?
Yeah, that's a hard one. Let's see, that's great. I have my handy dandy teams list here. How about DeMar DeRozan? I'm just randomly choosing him. Let's say DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
I would say, I guess I'll just list people who I think are likely. Jaylen Brown.
Yep.
I think Ben Simmons. I think I'm supposed to choose one, right?
Yeah, but these are great because it's saving me from having to pick any, so it's perfect.
Bradley Beal. I think. Let's see.
I think they're going to ride out the Bradley Beal, Russell Westbrook thing for one season. I don't think Bradley Beal is going to be on the Wizards next year, but I think that they're going to ride it out for the season. Yeah,
you're right. I literally fully forgot that Russell Westbrook was on the Wizards. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, sure. So I retract that pick, but the rest of them, yeah, solid.
Cool. I can see it. I feel like Miami might make a couple moves. Like, I could see
leaving in Miami, though.
Tyler Herro, like, or Duncan Robinson,
Dragic,
maybe?
I think Dragic could move.
No, I think Dragic is there for the long haul because they sort of gave him, like, yeah, they gave him a bunch of money, like, probably more than his ultimate value as sort of, like, a thanks for helping us get to the finals last year present. So I don't think that contract's, like, he's that movable.
Old, you know?
Yeah. But I could see them moving some of the young guys to get, like, whether it's James Harden or if someone else becomes available.
Jimmy would hate that. Oh, my God.
I don't think...
I feel like Jimmy went to Miami to be the guy.
To prove that he can be the guy. Yeah, but I think he also... They thought they were maybe going to get Giannis up until quite recently. So I think that he was mentally prepared for that to be the case.
Right.
So, okay. Any other just random predictions for the year?
Let's see. I predict that Rajon Rondo will have a terrible year. Okay. just
that
randomly.
That seems like...
I just wanted to take shots at
animosity.
Him. I don't know why. I just think it's
learning
something
about
myself.
You're just like mean for no reason sometimes. Yeah. It's really funny.
I am. Wow.
Very anti-Pisces of you, Mr. Pisces. Yeah,
that's true. But I cry a lot, so that evens it out. Mm-hmm. Bucks not getting past the Eastern Conference Finals, but definitely making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, but not getting to the finals.
Okay.
Let's see. Hornets finish with 19 wins.
That seems generous to me, but...
let's see. Because we've chosen all the... I guess most improved player. We should choose that.
Ooh, yeah. Who do you think is going to get most improved?
That's tough. I set myself up for failure, but I'm going to say... Oh, Lord have mercy.
I think Luka's going to get that and MVP.
Really? No, they can't. Mm-hmm. He's already so good. There's no.
I know, but I think he's just going to take a huge leap, and that's going to be what makes him an MVP, even though the Dallas Mavericks aren't even going to end up as like the 2 seed.
I'm going to say something very random here, just because I feel like it. RJ Barrett.
That is very random.
Does that feel good?
Yeah. It's kind of fun to just like throw random names out there into stuff, the wind. Right? This is what it's like to be on TV as an NBA commentator, huh? You just throw random names into the wind and wait for aggregators to get angry at you.
You just throw random slander at people. You know what I'm saying?
I guess, okay, just to back up my assertion,
yeah.
I think that Luke is going to get the MVP, but I think in order for him to get the MVP, he has to take another huge leap from where he already was last year. And I think that huge leap is enough of an improvement to justify him becoming the most improved player.
Yeah. I just feel like when you're that good, it's like, it's tough to be most improved because like, now you just went from excellent to like,
but you have to be on the radar to be most improved. You know what I mean? Like even the players who take huge leaps and become most improved, I feel like unless you're on people's radar, you don't really get those awards.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, you get on the radar by crushing it or whatever. I don't know. I just really wish.
Maybe Devin Booker, you think?
Yeah. See, Devin Booker is somebody who has enough like, you know, room to grow, I think.
Yeah. I mean, he's already amazing offensively, obviously. Yeah. But if he becomes like an amazing defender this year somehow or something,
yeah.
I could see it. Donovan Mitchell maybe also has some room. Yeah,
love him.
Trae Young. There's a lot of guys who are really good.
Isn't most improved player typically somebody who's not like a star? You know, it's like, I don't know. It'll be fucking Lou Williams or some shit like that. It'll be somebody who's like, who we like, but we don't love yet. And then suddenly like Pascal Siakam shows up and he's like, oh, wow, look at you.
Yeah, that's true.
It's rarely like a superstar.
They do like those narratives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just real quick before we go, non-NBA related, but did you watch the E40 Too Short battle last night?
I did not. I skipped it.
Okay, well, it's okay because the thing I want to talk about the battle, it was really fun, actually, and I didn't even watch the whole thing because it lasted forever because they got wasted and just like kept going. As you probably saw from if you saw any of those clips of E40 dancing.
Yeah.
I'm a huge E40 fan, so I really loved it. But it made me realize something about my adolescence / childhood that I'm like reckoning with today, which is like something I already knew just from being someone who's like a huge Jay-Z fan and a huge hip hop fan in general. But like, holy shit, the lyrics to the songs that we collectively as a generation grew up listening to are so deeply problematic.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's basically no way that didn't have a negative effect on our like collective psyches, right? Like it's the most misogynistic shit you've ever heard in your entire like Too Short especially is really bad, but like
oh yeah, Too Short in particular, yeah.
It's like what's my favorite word? I mean, come on, like that's his entire brand is and being we all misogynist. And we all scream it. It's so fun every fucking time. I'm the person who like the hatred is targeted against and I'm like, bitch. but no, like these lyrics are literally like that's the least offensive Too Short lyric.
Right.
They're really, really egregiously misogynistic. Too Short, even compared to like current day hip hop. It's bad.
He's at this perfect level of fame where like we all know him. He's notorious, whatever. He's famous, right? But he's not famous enough to really dig that deep into his shit. Cause I feel like if he got like, you know, Frank Ocean famous or something like, you know, household name, we'd be like, wait, what?
Well, it was really funny. There were a few moments in the battle where you can tell he just has zero self-awareness about, I think he understands that a lot of his songs wouldn't fly today, but I think he also has no self-awareness and has done no like internal reflection about them at all, has had no personal growth, because like there were a couple of moments in the battle where he said things where you're just like, oh, so you haven't learned anything in 30 years. Okay, cool. Like he right before he played, he played Khalees Bossy because he has a feature on that song. Mm-hmm. And right before he played it, he was like, one thing you can never say about Too Short is like, you can never dispute or whatever. Is like, I get bitches or whatever. And then he dropped like a feminist anthem and Bossy. Like, I'm like, you don't have any self-awareness. And then also there was a moment where he had just played like some egregiously offensive song about like literally your only purpose is to bend over for me, like kind of a thing. And then he was like afterwards, he's like, I just want to say like obviously, you know, I call women bitches. And he's like, but I would never say that all women deserve to be called bitches. Like, he literally, this is a direct quote. He goes, Queen Latifah, I would never call a bitch. But like, there are some bitches that are just bitches, you know? And I was just like, please stop digging this hole.
But
please
not Queen Latifah.
Please stop. Like, it's like, oh no, that's totally makes sense. Like, not all women deserve to be treated as
like,
lesser.
I have black friends, you know, like Queen Latifah, for example, you know, like
he's like, I don't treat all women as a lesser subspecies than men, just the ones who are clearly a lesser subspecies,
just the ones who deserve it.
Yeah. Like,
and I
God.
Think that's fair.
And then everyone was just like, bitch.
Yeah. Like, and then we just all in our living room was like,
ooh. Then we just all like sing along and like grooving. I was like baking chocolate chip cookies, listening to like these horribly misogynistic lyrics. I was just like, I should probably do some self-reflection at some point about this stuff. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, you know, the yin and the yang.
It was a really fun battle. You just couldn't listen to the lyrics of any of the songs, which is pretty much true about trying to be nostalgic about like any of the music we grew up on.
Yeah.
It's like, it's great until you realize how often they like slander gay people and women and stuff. And then you're just like, oh, actually, this is really horrifying.
Yeah. I was literally just listening to like a Pop Smoke song, something like that yesterday. And it literally was just like, I don't like gays. There's some lyric in it that's literally just like so direct. And I was like, oh, I was like, damn.
Yeah. Forgot. You're like, all right. Well,
when did you say this? Why?
Well, that's all our time for today. But
exactly.
Well, yeah, maybe the next verses will be like slightly less problematic, but it was really fun still. Bay Area hip hop is just great. I mean, musically, it's really fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, by the time, you know, this comes out, we'll be like 24 hours from the actual fucking NBA season starting.
Isn't that crazy?
It's exciting. I still don't have full faith that it's going to, you know, see itself to completion, at least on the timeline that they're giving. But, you know, stranger
Merry
things
Christmas.
Have happened. Merry Christmas. Here's some contaminated NBA basketball.
Whee!
All right. Merry Christmas, Dalvin.
All right.
See you next week.
Bye.